You think that Hashem forgot about you. Just you learn Parshas Vayikra and you remind yourself, Ein Shum Yeyash Ba'olam Klakas. Hashem calls to you too. Vayikra El Moshe. Vayikra. Yeah. Okay, Vayikra is Gematria Yeyush, because Ein Shum Yeyash Ba'olam Klakas. You feel that Hashem doesn't talk to you. Vayikra, Hashem calls to you. But let's learn about Hashem calling to Moshe Rabbeinu. We're on page Nun. Okay, the Rebbe has one Torah on Parshas Vayikra, near Tufshin. It was a very, very difficult time in Adar of the year 1940, March 1940. Maybe I'll tell you a little bit more about that when we do the Purim piece. But you get a sense that the Rebbe is really trying to mechazik people in understanding that suffering is not in vain. Okay, so let's see. Vayikra el Moshe v'yadaber Hashem elav me'o moed lemor. Opening pasuk of our parsha, Vayikra el Moshe, Kodesh Baruch Hu calls to Moshe, and he communicates with him from the Ohel Moed, from the Mishkan. Perish Rashi, Rashi explains l'chol dibros u'l'chol amiros u'l'chol tzivuyim kodma kriya. Before Kodesh Baruch Hu commands you and says to you and asks of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu first says, Hi, Shalom Aleichem, Vayikra. Vayikra, Hashem talks to you. Hashem acknowledges you. Hashem allows you to be seen and spoken to and identified. Lashon Chiba, in a loving way. Vayikra, to call someone. Vayikra Moshe. Hashem calls out to Moshe. Moshe feels invited in that way. Lashon Shemalachi Asharis Mishtam Shembo, says Rashi. The language that what? That the angels use. Shenemar v'kara zeh el zeh. Ayin sham. That the angels call to one another. When you call out to someone, when you see someone, you're like, oh, hey, how's it going? Shalom aleichem, good to see you. Right? They feel uplifted because you've acknowledged them. You've said hello to them. So before Hashem commands and says and asks, Kodesh Baruch Hu says hi. V'tzarech lahavin lama mefarish rashi zois b'kriya zo v'lo b'sna. First question, says the Rebbe, is this the first Vayikra El Moshe? Hashem never called to Moshe before. Why over here, as we begin Chumash Vayikra, does Rashi make the point to say that what? That, oh, you should know that when Hashem talks to Moshe, it's Lashon Chiba, it's an expression of endearment. What about when Hashem spoke to Moshe at the Sneh? Vayar Hashem Kisar Liros, Hashem saw that Moshe noticed the burning bush. Vayikra Elav Elokim Bitoch HaSneh. Vayomer Moshe Moshe, he called him twice, Moshe Moshe, Vayomer Hineni, he said, ah, yes, here I am. So why didn't Rashi write, you should know that when Hashem is Vayikra, when Hashem calls to you, you should know that's an expression of endearment. I would say the Rebbe's picking this example because there are four people in Tanakh who are called by their name twice in a row. Avram, Yaakov, Moshe, those are the three in the Chumash, and then Shmuel. And Rashi and the Rishonim in all those places say that whenever your name appears twice, if Hashem says your name two times in a row, if Hashem says Moshe, Avram, Yaakov, it's a sign of even greater endearment. So here by the Sneh, where by Yikra, which is itself an expression of, I'm so happy to see you, and then to say your name twice, I would think that's where Rashi should say, you should know that whenever Hashem's by Yikra, it's a very special thing, God wants to talk to you. Why over here, as we begin Chumash Vayikra El Moshe, because Vayikra is the name of the book, but the whole book's not about Vayikra. Why over here does Rashi say, you should know that whenever God does a Vayikra to you, it's very special? Why didn't Rashi make that point back in Shmos, Paragimel? Or how about by Kabbalah Satorah? Says the Rebbe in the third line, V'chein b'kabbalah satorah. By Kabbalah Satorah it says, V'yered Hashem al har Sinai el Rosh Ahar, V'yikra Hashem l'Moshe. El Rosh Ahar v'ya'al Moshe. Moshe got the exclusive invitation to come up the mountain, and Moshe went up. That's a nice V'yikra, no? And Rashi doesn't say, oh, V'yikra, whenever it's a V'yikra, it's a Lashon Chiba. It means Hashem loves you so much. What's the pshat? Why dafka here, Vayikra el Moshe, Vayidavar Hashem elav me'o el moe lemor? Why dafka Chumash Vayikra does Rashi start off by making this point? So what is Chumash Vayikra? And maybe that's part of the answer. What is Chumash Vayikra? We're about to enter into the world of Karbanos. Now, obviously, that's a very delicate point for someone who is trying to mechazek Jews who see themselves as next in line to be karbanos mamish, Jews who are dying al kiddush Hashem. It's a very delicate point to talk about karbanos, especially since we know from all the Rishonim that every time a person brings a karban to Beis HaMikdash, really what? He should be the karban. Hashem in His infinite mercy sometimes takes an animal in your place, but you should be the one who has to give His life for your averos. Says the Rebbe in the second paragraph, Aval the akeda ksiv v'yikach es ha'ayil v'ya'alayu la'ola tachas b'no. Who was supposed to be the karban? Yitzchak was supposed to be the karban. And at the last minute, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulled off a switcheroo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, stop, Avram, put down the knife. And he accepts an ayil, he accepts a ram, instead of his son, instead of Yitzchak. But that's really, you know, that's really, it highlights in the clearest of way that Yitzchak was supposed to be the karban. V'cheinu b'chol ha-karbanos, and says the Rebbe, that's really true, that's the underpinnings of all the karbanos. That feeling, that notion that we should be the karban, is really the backdrop to every karban. As the pasuk says, second pasuk in our parsha, Adam ki yakriv mikem, karban la'Hashem. Adam ki yakriv, when a person brings mikem, from himself. But Rashi says, halachically, what that means. It has to be your karban, it shouldn't be a stolen karban. But obviously, on the most basic level, Adam ki yakriv mikem, a person should bring himself as the karban. There should be a feeling, you should be crying as you watch that animal taken off to be slaughtered, as the Ramban discusses. There should be a brokenheartedness that, oh my gosh, that should be me. Adam ki akriv mikem, when a person brings himself as a karban to Hashem. V'karbanos ha-behemos ba'am tachas ha'ish. And Hashem accepts the animal karban instead of the person. Uvitanis, and every time we fast, the Rebbe is speaking to people who are fasting not by choice. Unfortunately, there's a terrible shortage of food. Uvitanis omrim, but when we fast and we choose to fast as an expression of our commitment to Hashem, we say, shemiyut chalbi v'dami. By limiting and by minimizing and by diminishing, that's the right word, diminishing my chelev, my fat, my dam, my blood, yehei nechshav kekarban. We daven and we say, Hashem, please, by giving up my lunch, giving up a little bit of my, you know, I'll be a little less full, I'll be a little skinnier today, right? It's as if I'm giving a portion of myself to you. That's my donation to you. It should be like a karban. V'achein, says the Rebbe, kol ha-yisurim memarkin avonosav shel adam, all of the suffering that a person endures in this world. And I remind you what the Gemara says in Maseches Erechin. The Gemara says in Maseches Erechin that when a Jew sticks his hand in his pocket and he tries to pull out what? 3 coins. And he pulls out 2. Put your hand in your pocket, you're fishing around, you said, oh, I think I had a $5 bill in here, right? Because someone said, oh, can I borrow $5? And you pull out a $1 bill. And now you have to go through the trouble of what? Putting your hand back into your pocket a second time. I know, it's a lot. It's a lot to ask. You have to put your hand back in your pocket a second time to fish around to get the right thing that you meant to pull out, right? That little bit of suffering, you know, is also called yisur in the Gemara says. That's also called yisur. I wanted to take out 3 coins and I only took out 2. Oh, so I have to put my hand back in my pocket again? So it's so cumbersome, you know? Or a person's trying to unlock a door and you do the wrong key, so you have to like switch to the other key. All right, Hashem says, okay, that's a Jew's in pain. Obviously, it's a very, very, very small amount of Yisurim. But the point the Gemara makes is that what? That Hashem counts that. Hashem counts that. In Mitzrayim, you should always say in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, that Hashem was chishev es hakeitz, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calculated the end. And we know that keitz end is also a lashon of like of exile and redemption, right? Hashem calculates the end, the keitz hayamim, as we call Mashiach, right? Keitz means like the geula, right? How many years were the Jews supposed to be in Mitzrayim? 400. Let's go with 400. 400 years. 400 years. They were only there 210 years. How many years were removed? 190. Come out your kates. Hashem took off 190 years. Chishev es hakeitz. Hashem took us out 190 years early. But why did we leave early? Because according to some Rishonim, we worked so hard, we suffered so much, so we kind of paid off what would have been reasonable in 400 years in 210 years. But I once saw a beautiful explanation. I think it's from Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, who died al Kiddush Hashem, who died in the Holocaust, the same period, the student of the Chafetz Chaim. He says that when we say in the Haggadah Shel Pesach that Hashem was Chishev Es HaKetz, doesn't just mean that God calculated the end. Hashem had his eye on the redemption. Chishev Es HaKetz also means that Hashem calculated the extreme, the Ketz. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu found a way to take every single bit to the nth degree, the most extreme, and I'm not talking about extreme in terms of like, in terms of, you know, the most intense. I'm talking about like extreme in terms of least intense. So like if a Jew in Mitzrayim, you know, stubbed his toe in the morning because he was being clumsy, right? Hashem counted that also. Chichev as a case. Hashem says, I count that. That's not the suffering of Mitzrayim. That's just you being clumsy in the morning. Hashem says, I consider everything. All the extremes, all the possibilities, Hashem counted everything. Everything that happened. And that's how we have to look at Yisurim. Hashem counts everything that happens. There's nothing a Jew goes through in this world that is in vain. There's no suffering that we do in vain. All the more so when it's real suffering. I'm just trying to highlight that Chazal give us the impression that any bit of pain that we go through, you should know Hashem is with you in that pain. But all the more so, coming back to what we're saying here, when a Jew is fasting, or when a Jew deserves to be a karbon, or lo aleinu, God forbid, if a Jew actually becomes a karbon, you should know that Hashem takes that very, very seriously. So kol ha-yisur memarkin avonosov shel adam. All of a person's suffering cleanses. Memarkin means cleanse. It cleanses a person's avonos. It cleans up your averos. It's a form of tshuva. Why? Because it weakens. It diminishes a person's strength, his flesh, his blood. V'chol Yisure Yisrael mine karbanos hem. That's the line, if you want to underline it. V'chol Yisure Yisrael mine karbanos hem. All the suffering of the Jewish people is a form of karban. Again, we know our Rebbe at this point. We know the Holy Yesh Kodesh. He's davening to Hashem. He's saying, Hashem, we could actually become karbanos lo aleinu. We could be killed by the Nazis, yimach shemam. But Hashem, I'm reminding you that what? That every bit of our suffering in this is also called a karban. So I don't have to actually be a karban, right? This also counts as a karban. And therefore, says the Rebbe, l'chein merambis b'zeh Rashi, and therefore, a simple answer to our opening question, why in Chumash Vayikra, the book of Karbanos, does it start off by Hashem calling to Moshe? And Rashi says, oh, look, see, Hashem's paying attention to you. Hashem loves you. What does it have to do with the theme of the Parsha? And Chavi, the answer is, Shebechol inyane karbanos, afilu be'elu she'odam ki akriv mikem. It's a reminder that every karban, not just the animals we drop off at Beis HaMikdash, but every karban, anything that we give of ourselves, any bit of suffering we endure, hainu karbanos ha'yisurim, sheminatzmuso makriv, the karbanos that a person brings from his etzem, from himself, you should know full well, shegam kein kriya shel chiba shel kadosh baruch hu heim. You should know that what? That even your suffering is somehow part of Hashem's expression of love for you. It somehow fits into the master plan. I'm not going through difficulties in my life because Hashem hates me. Hashem is challenging me to grow. Hashem is helping me to fix my averos. Whatever it is, it's not for us to necessarily figure out why I'm going through this difficulty. But you should know at that moment that you're in pain, Vayikra, Hashem is calling out to you. Hashem is being mechazik you. Okay, I told you, Vayikra is gematria yeyush. When a Jew feels utter despair, you have to hear that voice of Hashem calling out to you and saying, I love you, I believe in you, I'm not giving up on you. Right? But then why are you breaking me down, Hashem? Why am I suffering? It's cleansing. It's part of the way that you and I get close. It's a karban. We get close in a strange way sometimes. Through difficulty, we get closer. Ask people who go through difficulties. Right? And the people who are with them in those difficulties. It's not our suffering alone. Hashem's with us. So when people go through hard times together, even though no one wants to go through hard times, it brings people closer. When a couple come to me and they're like, you know, we've been dating for a while and everything's like amazing and perfect. So I say, okay, so come back to you, you know, like after you have a couple of fights and we'll talk. Because until you go through stuff together, right? Thank you very much. Until you've been through challenges together, It's very hard to know, like, you know, is there real glue in this relationship, in this marriage. Right? You have to learn how to navigate the hard times. Hashem says, when we go through hard times together, it's a vayikra. It's a way of getting close. It's not supposed to cause despair, God forbid. Yeah.
So we're not talking about the physical korban. We're talking about like the actual like essence of what it does, meaning the karov aspect of the korban.
Yeah, he's saying there's a kirva, this chiba, the vayikra, which again is Hashem calling out to Moshe in a very loving, intimate way. Right? Why the Rebbe's question is why does Rashi make that point here? Make that point in the vayikra by the Snan in the beginning of Shemos. Make it by the vayikra at Har Sinai. Those are also calls of love of Hashem inviting Moshe Rabbeinu in, so to speak. Why chumash vayikra? Why over here does Rashi say you should know this is Hashem is saying He loves you? Because as we enter into the book of Karbanos, and we remind ourselves that these karbanos that we drop off at Beis HaMikdash are really supposed to be Aldam Kiakriv Mikem. Right? So we have to remind ourselves that our own suffering, right, which is a karban of sorts, is an expression of Hashem's love for us. It's not Hashem hates us.
Why is the suffering a karban?
Why is suffering a karban? That's what it is. That's what we're saying. Yeah. All Yisurei Yisrael is a form of karbanos. When I fast and I give up a little bit of my flesh and blood, so that's a sacrifice. Right? When I spend money to buy kosher food, which is more expensive, that's an element of karban. Right? When a Jew struggles to find a parking spot, yeah, and he's feeling frustrated, that feeling of frustration is a form of karban. Right? All of your frustrations and all of your suffering, Hashem says, Imo Anochi Betzara, I'm with you. And I want you to know that your pain is significant. And it's worth something. Right? So you're saying, oh, it's so annoying, I can't find a parking spot. And Hashem's saying, you should know that the Lashon Hara you spoke yesterday is being erased right now, so don't complain so much. Don't complain so much. You should know that this or that Avera is being, you know, scrubbed clean through your suffering. So understand, your suffering is very purposeful. It's not Chas V'Shalom in vain. Yeah?
You're saying literally that you should want to suffer.
You should not want to suffer, no.
Or, I mean, if it's...
No. No, we daven every day. Hashem, please don't bring me nisyonos. Don't bring me suffering. I don't want any of that. The reality is, I have yet to meet a human being, maybe you know someone, I've yet to meet someone who doesn't have suffering in varying degrees. Suffering could be a yid in the Holocaust, like the Rebbe is saying, but suffering could be the Gemara in Erechon that I told you. You stick your hand in your pocket to pull out one set of keys, and you pull out a different set of keys. That's also called suffering. Right? So halavai, I should have, the Gemara also has a kind of Yisurim Shal Ahava. On a certain level, though, all Yisurim are Yisurim Shal Ahava. That's what the Rebbe is saying. Anything a Jew goes through in this world, it's for some positive purpose. In the moment, I don't know. I'm not offering explanations saying the Holocaust was a good thing, Chas V'Shalom. We can't say such a thing. We don't know how to say such a thing. Right? If a person suffers in this world, I cry for them and I daven for them. And I ask Hashem to take away their suffering. Right? So what does that mean? So does that mean I don't believe that God knows what He's doing? It's a Gemara Baba Basra on Daf Yud. The Gemara Baba Basra says that a certain Rasha said to Rabbi Akiva, he said, I don't understand. Hashem makes someone poor, and you give them tzedakah? Isn't that kfira? Aren't you an apikarius for doing that? Hashem wants this person to be impoverished. How dare you go behind Hashem's back and try to give him money? You ever think about that? Every time you give tzedakah. Every time you give tzedakah, you're messing with Hashem's master plan. Hashem says this guy is supposed to suffer, and now all of a sudden you jump in and get him back on his feet? Who are you to stay out of my way, Hashem says. It's a good question, no? It's not a good question. A Gaisha question. It's a Gaisha question. Rabbi Akiva says back, that's not how a Yid thinks. He gives a mashal. Rabbi Akiva says, I'll give you a mashal. Rabbi Akiva says, I'll give you the following mashal. Imagine the king, you know, takes a commoner and puts him in jail for a particular crime. So imagine you go behind the king's back. All right, well, this guy is supposed to be doing time in jail. And you decide you're going to take care of him in jail. You're going to get him good food and good clothing and basically like kind of, you know, undo much of the experience that he's supposed to be enduring in jail. So the king's going to be very mad at you, right? This person, I'm enforcing the law. This person needs to learn his lesson and you're undermining that. But then Rabbi Akiva says, but what if the king's son, what if the prince does something wrong? And the father, the king, needs to punish him, right? But it's also his beloved son. Right? And you go behind the king's back and you take care of the prince a little bit while he's in, you know, in jail doing time. Right? The king, on the one hand, says, you're not supposed to really do that, but at the same time, it's like, it's my kid, it's my son. So that's exactly, says Rabbi Akiva, that's what's going on here. When Hashem says this person needs to go through a difficulty in this world, And the fellow Jews come to the rescue and try to help out. So the king says, listen, on the one hand, yes, I know what I'm doing and kind of stay out of my way. At the same time, I'm happy that you know that really I only want what's good for my son. And it's an opportunity for you to, you know, through back channels to provide for the prince. Right? It's a very good mashal. It's a very good mashal. But again, we daven all the time. No, we don't want suffering. And we have to cry. When we see people suffering, we have to cry out to Hashem and say, Hashem, take it away. And the Rebbe himself said it many times. We had it many times. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, I get it, but the average person doesn't. So if you're a big tzaddik, you can understand that my suffering is all this Torah. But in the moment, right, many people when they're suffering, they're mad at God and they hate Hashem and they're angry. So, okay, so Hashem, we say to Hashem, if that's the response, so take away their suffering, they're not getting it. Sometimes Hashem says they still need to get it even if they don't get it. And Hashem causes the person to continue in that, you know, that state, yeah.
So, like, we stub our toe or something, should we say, Baruch Hashem?
Yeah, Baruch Hashem. Gamzu L'tova. Gamzu L'tova. Kol D'Avid Rachmanu L'Tav Avid. Everything Hashem does is for the best. So you should know that nothing that you go through in this world that hurts you, you're alone. You're always, Hashem is always with you in that pain and that suffering. Whether it's something silly, like the Gemara says, like needing to put your hand back into your pocket a second time to take something out of your pocket, or it's something very significant that is, you know, kamat, impossible to explain, like what we're learning. Yeah.
I read something really interesting that, like, changed my perspective on just when it comes to tests and suffering. I read that when you suffer, when you're put through a test, it's actually Hashem giving you a bracha. And he essentially, like, since he's on the highest realm, like Atzilu, I think, and we're on the lowest, he basically, like, drops a bracha onto us, and it goes through every level. And as the levels go down, it becomes more impure, so the bracha becomes coated with impurity.
Interesting.
That by the time it reaches us, it looks like a test. It looks like suffering.
Very good.
It looks like a curse. But that's really,
right.
It's a bracha.
You got to change, right? You got to see it at its root, right? Not after it becomes, yeah, a diamond that's covered in mud. It's still a diamond, right?
Yeah.
But you can look at it and say, there's a clump of dirt. And not realize there's a diamond inside. The biggest brachos, you know what all the tzaddikim said? The biggest brachos in the Torah are the tochacha. The curses of Parshas Bechukosai and Kisavo, the tzaddikim said, are the biggest brachos in the Torah. It's just all in disguise. It's wrapped in literally language of a holocaust. I mean, you read those terrifying psukim in Bechukosai and Kisavo, right? They're very scary psukim. But the tzaddikim said, it's kulo bracha. I told some of you this before. I have a sefer at home, a big fat sefer at home. It's a big fat red sefer, written by the previous Skolya Rebbe, who himself survived this very difficult period. It's a tremendous tzaddik. Came to America, he passed away in the 1970s, a big Baal Mofes. He wrote an entire sefer, it's called Birchas Yeshurun. You know what this whole book is about? Hundreds of pages, probably close to 500 pages. It goes through every phrase of the Tochacha and explains it in a positive way. The whole sefer, it says Birchas Yeshurun, and the subtitle is, it's written on Parshas Bechukosai and Kisavo, and you're like, who writes a sefer on Bechukosai? It's about the Tochacha. He goes through every phrase of the Tochacha, and is Megala, and he shows you how every curse is really a bracha. It's brilliant.
Should he even do that?
It's brilliant. Yes, he should. Why not?
It's like saying,
again, you have to live in both worlds.
You
have to live in both worlds. You have to live in both worlds. A Jew has to know, a Tochacha is also a Tochacha. And if you're a bad Jew, you're going to get punished. That's what the Tochacha means. But in Pnimius, the Tochacha is Kulo Bracha. And we need to know that. And that's what the Rebbe is saying here. You need the Vayikra. When you feel like your life has become a carbon, you need a Vayikra to be mechazik you. Okay, let's keep going. We still have a lot to do here. Od Efshar. Ki Vekara Zeh El Zeh. Rashi quoted the Pasuk, if you remember, in Yeshaya. Vekara Zeh El Zeh. Right? That when Hashem calls to us, it's like the angels who call to one another. Mitargaminan. And you know the Targum. So we say it in our davening. Umekablin Dain Min Dain. They receive from one another. Kablin Dain Min Dain. They receive each other and they receive from one another. Kamosha Omrim Be'uvel Etzion, like we say in Uvel Etzion. Ve'isa B'tikune Zohar Kadosh, and the Halakha Tikune Zohar says, Shaha Shamalachim Mekablin Dain Min Dain. Where do the angels get the means to receive and to give to one another? Yisrael Garmin Lahem. We create that spiritual energy that the angels are then tapping into. The Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, are Gorem. We create it. We cause it. How? Kad Mekablin Da Min Da. When we receive from one another, when we interact with each other. Bein Be'oraisa. So, Chava, so right now, as we're learning with each other, as we're sharing Torah together, right, we're creating a spiritual energy in Shemayim that the angels will then also be able to give and to receive from one another. Just like the Eish Kodesh is teaching us, right, on a certain level I'm sharing with you, and then you're commenting back and sharing back with me and sharing with each other. So all of this Kablin Dein Mundane of sharing with one another, that creates that spiritual energy in Shemayim. Bein B'mamona, says the Tikkun Ezar. Whether it's in Torah, whether it's in money, when it's acts of kindness. When I see a Jew, you know, if I see someone, walking down the street and they slip and they fall and I help them up, right? So that, when I give to him, when I take care of him, so it creates an energy in Shemayim that the angels are able to give and take to, with one another. When I give tzedakah, when I perform acts of chesed, when we share Torah, that creates that potential, that ability of kara zeh el zeh, that the angels that the Nabi Yeshayah is describing are able to call to one another. Mekablin Dein Min Dein. Yes, quickly, let's hear.
So tzedakah is a mitzvah, but you said before that, let's say, for example, if we give a poor person tzedakah, Hashem says, I see what you're doing, and I appreciate that, but like, you know, so let me do my thing.
Yeah, that's, again, on a certain level, it's a funny thing for us to...
Doesn't that mean, like, it wouldn't it's be all bad the... if we decided not to give tzedakah? Like, it shouldn't be, like, a commandment, it should just be...
No, I don't think so. Because Hashem wants, again, the same way the king wants someone to sneak around and take care of the prince. Again, you can ask the same question about tefillah. Hashem put me in a certain situation. Why am I asking to change him? Right? How do I ever ask Hashem for anything? Doesn't God know what he's doing? A very simple, like, philosophical, theological question. And there's a lot to explore there. But no, Hashem wants us. The same way the king wants, it's an expression of love for the king to go kind of behind his back and take care of the prince. Even though the king said, I'll put him in jail, I'm trying to teach him a lesson, but... it's my son. He really wants him to be...
It just makes it seem like it's not, like, required. Like, it's not...
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Like, it would be nice if you did do it.
Right. On a certain... Well, again, on a certain level, it's not that it's not commanded because we should do it, but on a certain level, we have to also trust that even if we do nothing to help Hashem, Hashem's going to work it all out. Right? And that's the humility and the bittul that we need to have. Okay, three lines from the bottom. V'lo rakish anaisin zelizet stakul gmilas chasadim mekablin dein min dein. Not only... when we perform acts of tzedakah, gimelas chasadim, do we receive from one another? Ragam kisheshomeya ish mitzaros Yisrael, va'osa kol ma sheyachol lasos l'tovasam. When you hear about Jews who are going through difficulties, again, is anyone going to go? Is anyone actually going to go to Vienna to like help out?
Considering
that, thinking about it for real.
I would, but it's during midterms.
But when you whether that means donating money to help, you know, the Jews of Ukraine have been displaced, or whether that means davening for them, or whether that means whatever it is, when we care about each other, when we hear kisheshomeya, this is a very timely piece, Chavra. Kisheshomeya ish mitzaris Yisrael. When we hear about the suffering of our fellow Jews, and it bothers us. When we feel the pain of others, forget about, you know, sharing Torah with each other, giving money to each other, doing business with each other, helping each other, and even if we just feel for each other, when we hear about the tzaras of Klal Yisrael and we feel for each other, uvechlal, included in that, is libo nishbar bekirbo. Right? When my heart breaks because I heard sad news, and I feel that my blood is congealing in my veins. Umilev nishpar usetshuva laHashem. And you know what? I feel brokenhearted that I want to be a better Jew, hoping that if I improve myself, Hashem will improve the situation of my fellow Jews, of humanity, of the world. V'gam mispal, top of the next page, I love Yisbach ba'ad Yisrael. And I call out to Hashem, and I say, Hashem, I'm not complaining for myself. I don't have any questions on you. But come on, my neighbor is suffering, my friend is suffering, my chavrus is suffering, my child is suffering, my parent is suffering, my spouse is suffering. Gam zos kabalahi shemekablin dein min dein. That providing, that emotional providing for one another also creates that energy that the angels can tap into. Shumekabal meham shviras halev utshuva. that I can send those care packages of what? Of feelings, of emotions, of brokenheartedness, of tshuva. All the tefillos, all the hirhurei tshuva, all of that, the tefillos to have rachmanas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu receives them, and the angels also benefit from them. This is our gift to the angels. When we care about each other, and we share with each other, it gives the angels in Shemayim the ability to connect and to share with each other. And that has a very positive ripple effect in the world. Now, says the Rebbe, we gave this to the angels. What did they give us? You know, let's do a gift exchange with the angels, right? We gave them the gift of what? Of Mekablin Dein Mendein. Like the Tikkuni Zohar says, when we give to one another, that gives the angels the ability to give to one another. What did they give us? That's what we taught them. How to help out each other. How to take care of each other. What did they give us? V'hinei anachnu. We were Mekabel me'amalachim baruch shem kavod malchus soli olam ve'ed. However, the secret of that sentence that we say in a whisper after we say Shema, Baruch Shem Kavod Machusol V'Yolam Ve'ed, we were makabel that from the angels. Look at footnote number one, as it says in the Medrash, Shema Yisrael, Rabbanan Amrin, Vishah Sha'ala Moshe Lamara, when Moshe went up to the heavens to receive the Torah, Shama Shemalachi Asharis, Omrim LaKadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Shem Kavod Machusol V'Yolam Ve'ed. Moshe Rabbeinu overheard the angels saying this phrase, Baruch Shem Kavod Mahusoli Olam Va'ed. V'horido Soli Yisrael. Moshe's like, I like that. That's a good one. That's a good teaching. I'm going to bring that one back for the Jewish people. And he brought it down. V'alama Ein Yisrael Omer V'so B'farhesya. So the Medrash asks an interesting question. So why do we say it in a whisper? Why don't we say it openly? Amr B'Asi. B'Asi gives such an interesting answer. The Gemara is a different answer. Lama Hadavar Doma. To what is this compared? It's like a person who stole a piece of jewelry or something like that from the king's palace. And he gave it liishton, nasnala liishton. V'amar la, and he said to his wife, listen, my beloved wife, al tiskashti ba b'farhesi. Don't like wear the necklace in the street. Because everyone's going to say, where'd you get that? And then I don't have to say, actually, I stole it from the king. Right? Wear it in the house. Keep it private. Just between the two of us. El b'soich b'escha. But on Yom Kippur, when we're greater than angels, when we're on the level of angels, then we're allowed to walk around in their jewelry. Then we can say, Baruch Shem Kavod Machasol V'Yolam Ve'ed out loud. Amazing medrash. Amazing medrash. Okay? So we got Baruch Shem Kavod Machasol V'Yolam Ve'ed from the angels. And what did they get from us? And they got Mekablin Dein Mendein. Interesting. So says the Rebbe, back up top, next paragraph. Habarach Shem Kavod Malchusoli Olam Va'ed Shekibalnu Mehamalachim Anu Omer Balachash. So the thing that they gave us, interesting, we're only able to use it in a whisper. V'hakara Zel Zeh, and the ability for them to interact with each other that we gave them through our interactions with each other, Shekiblu Hamalachim Yisrael, Heim Korim Bakol. Right. What does the Navi Yeshaya say? Karazel Zeh. When they call to each other, as the Pasuk says, he quotes it here, but Karazel Zeh Ve'amar Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzavakos Malochal Aretz Kavodo. That Pasuk you all know. And what's the very next Pasuk? Yikusil probably knows it by heart. Ve'anu Amos Hasipim Mikol HaKorei. And the doorposts were shaking. Right? It said in a thunderous voice that it causes everything to shake. So we got from them a whisper, Baruch Shem Kavod Machusol V'Yolam Ve'ed. And they got from us, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. They got the ability to talk to each other, to scream out to each other, Karazel Zev Yamar, and everything's shaking. Says the Rebbe, why did we give them something loud? And why did we receive something quiet? Listen to this. V'hi mipnei shava karazel zeh, shi mekablin dein mendein, shi mekablin Yisrael, because their ability to call out to each other, which they got from us, Gam mitoch sar Yisrael ba, comes from what? Part of their ability to interact is from our communication with each other. Shezet toimech lezeh, that we support one another. V'libo shelzeh nishbar mitzara shelzeh, and my heart is broken when I hear the pain of another. What does Mordechai at Tzaddik? Let's make it relevant. Not just Ukraine and Russia relevant. Let's make it Megillas Esther relevant. But it's certainly relevant to what's happening in the world right now. What do you do when people are suffering? Do you sit quietly on the sidelines? What does it say in the Megillah? Mordechai goes out to the streets, and he is screaming at the top of his lungs. Vayizak zaka gedola, he's screaming, like a crazy person. He's screaming in the streets. That's unbelievable, right? That's karazel zevimar, that the palace is shaking. Velibo shelzeh nishra mitzara shelzeh kenisker leal. That a person's heart is broken over someone else's tzaris. Va'kriya haba mitoch tzar. Va'kaev hibakol. And the same way that what? You know why the angels got a gift from us that they can scream out to one another? Because they got our concern, whether it's a scream with my voice or it's a scream in my heart. I'm screaming. Like Rabbi Nachman talks about, right? The silent scream. We're screaming out to Hashem at the terrible injustice of the suffering of the Jewish people. Ah, Hashem has a master plan. It all makes sense, of course. But the Rebbe is saying, there's a Holocaust taking place. I'm screaming, the Rebbe says. V'gam ha-malachim tzoakim b'kol mirachmanas shel tzar Yisrael. So we gave them the ability to scream because we're screaming. What did we get from them? We got whispers. You know why? Says the Rebbe in the next paragraph. U'mashem mekablum anu mi'amalachim baruch shem kavod machlasol yolam ve'ed lo mitoch tzar omer v'so ha-malachim. The angels have it easy in Shemayim. The angels, right? Again, what they got from us is the ability to scream. But what we get from them, we got something very delicate, very gentle, very soft. You know why? Because being an angel is easy. The Rebbe is saying to the people, what the Ish Kodesh is saying to his people, he's saying, it seems like it's easier at times to be an angel. You know what it is? Right? But it's not better. Look at this line where it's bolded. Ki ha'im ta'am kvar malach tzaro shel Yisrael. Has an angel ever endured? Has he ever tasted? Has he ever experienced the suffering of a Jew? B'shosha makim oso. When a Jew is beat up, did an angel ever get beat up in the street for being a Jew? No, it didn't. Did an angel ever experience the busha? B'shosha rod from oso, mevazim oso. Does an angel know what it's like to be chased? And to be forced out of one's home, to be stuffed into a ghetto. Oh, it's pachdod. Does an angel know what it means to be afraid? That you can be sent to a gas chamber at any moment? Does the angel know about that? Does an angel know the suffering? Does the angel know what it's like to be starving? To be cold? An angel doesn't know any of that. The world of the angel is just a big whisper. The whole thing's a big whisper. In other words, says the Rebbe, we gave the angel something more powerful than they gave us. Right? Because our tzar, our suffering, our collective cries and our individual cries is so much more powerful. It's so much more powerful. Don't spend your life saying, oh, I wish my life was easier. Yes, we all feel that way. But if I'm going through a difficulty, I have to know that what? That I have the ability to shake the Shemayim. And I'm giving the angels a big gift, which will hopefully have a ripple effect of bracha back upon us. Says the Rebbe in the bottom paragraph, U'kisha'omer Yishayahu Anavi. Uvisoch am tamei svasayim anochi yoshev. This is the continuation of those same sukkim of kadosh, 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 and then the palace is shaking, the doorposts are shaking, and then the Navi Yeshaya says, I'm amongst a tamei people. Uvisoch am tamei svasayim anochi yoshev. I find myself amongst a nation that is tamei svasayim. You know what happens in the next pasuk? A malach comes and he takes a ritzvah. A ritzvah means what? A fiery coal, a hot coal, a live coal. Not an extinguished coal. A hot coal, red hot coal. He takes it off of the Mizbeach. V'yoga al piv. And he touches it to the mouth of the Navi Yeshaya as if to say to him, what? Close your mouth. Don't say bad things on the Jews. You're up here looking at the angels, you're like, oh wow, the angels are amazing. You know? And the people downstairs, they're always causing trouble. Don't you realize that what the people downstairs are doing is much more... Don't you realize that the strength of these angels to say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh comes from who? Comes from those people who you're complaining about. Chazal say in the Medrash Shir Hashirim, Rashi quotes it, Sha'omer Kadosh Baruch Hu Lamaloch Ratzotz Peh Sha'omer Dilitoria Albanai. Go strike the mouth. Go burn the mouth of the one who speaks slander against my people. Again, I told you yesterday that Purim, the enemy of Purim Haman, the Gemara says, Leika de Yada Lishna Bisha. There's no one in the world who spoke Lashon Hara like what? Like Haman. He was the ultimate Baal Lashon Hara. He slandered Hashem's people. How dare you speak against my people? Right? And Haman says, what do you mean? Their God doesn't even like them. That's why they suffer so much. Don't you realize that our suffering is what shakes the Shemayim and gives the angels the ability to speak? I told you, that's why Esther is the antidote to Haman. Esther's gematria, Lashon Hara. Right? Because she's the antithesis of Lashon Hara. She's the one who can combat Lashon Hara. 661. She has the kalach to fight Lashon Hara. She goes up against it. That's why she has the same numerical value as it. So the Navi Yeshaya, watch yourself. Watch what you're saying about the Jewish people. Don't you understand they're greater than the angels? Turn to the last page, Chava, page Nun Bez. Ulefi anizkar la'el. Ramaz lo Hashem. Hashem was saying to the Navi Yeshaya, Shamata es kol ha'korei shalom alachim. Navi Yeshaya, 2 seconds ago, you were listening to what? To the thunderous praises of the angels, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. And then a pasuk later, you're speaking bad about Klal Yisrael. Don't you realize? Don't you understand the calls, the cries of the angels? Min Yisrael makablin. Don't you know where they got it from? And then you speak bad about Klal Yisrael. You're like so impressed by the angels. Then you speak bad about Klal Yisrael. The harash hagadol. This, you know, thunderous praise in Shemayim. Atchino amos hasipim, that the doorposts are shaking and quaking. Mitzaren shel Yisrael hu. What you're so wowed by, that was created by the pain of Klal Yisrael. Ve'ech tucha lomar aleim dilatoria. So how do you go 2 seconds later and speak about all their shortcomings? Don't you realize how significant their suffering is? And chavra, and that brings us now back to what? To Vayikra El Moshe. Says the Rebbe in the second to last paragraph. Va'posuk merameis ata bezeh. Shalo bilvad hamalachim min kriyas Yisraelu min mekablin dein min dein shalahem mekablin asakriya v'as hamekablin dein min dein shalahem. It's not just the angels who what? Who are so deeply dependent and impacted by our what? Our cries, our suffering. But you know who else is? Vayikra Hashem El Moshe. Hashem, Vayikra El Moshe, Vayadaber Hashem Elav. Hashem calls to Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem, who gave you the ability to call? That's interesting. The angels were given the ability to call from us. Who gave Hashem the ability to call? Right? And what the Rebbe is suggesting, a very deep idea. The Rebbe is saying, trust me, the Vayikra, the same Vakara Zel Zev Amar of the angels is the same Vayikra El Moshe. It's Hashem's response to our suffering. And now we understand why Rashi has to say, you should know Hashem loves you. When Hashem calls to you, it's a Lashon Chiba. Because that means that Hashem is responding to your suffering. Hashem is in tune with what you're going through. Hashem himself is responding. Kriyas hamalachim shal makablin dein medein. Similar to the way that the angels are given a voice in response to our voice. Because as David HaMelech said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us in our suffering. Concludes the Rebbe in the final paragraph. Umedrash Rabba Shemos, Isa la Pasuk, Vayikra Elav Elokim Mitoch Hasne, Vayomer Moshe Moshe. Hashem calls out to Moshe from the Sneh and he says his name twice. And I told you there are 4 people in Tanakh who are called by a double name. Avram Avram, Yaakov Yaakov, Moshe Moshe, Shmuel Shmuel. There's only one where there's no pause between the first mention of his name and the second mention of his name. Moshe Moshe. No pause. Moshe, Moshe. By Avram, it's Avram. Psik, pause. Avram. Avram, comma, Avram. But Moshe, Moshe, it's fast. Moshe, Moshe. Back to back. Says the Medrash, by Moshe, Moshe, it's below Psuk Taima. It's without a comma. It's without a pause. Kamo ba Avram, comma, pause. Psik, line, Avram. By Yomer Hineni. And the Medrash says, I'll tell you what that's like. Imagine a person is carrying a very heavy burden. Yeah? They're carrying a heavy burden. And they feel that they're literally about to collapse under this burden. They feel it's going to flatten them out. This box is so heavy, this package is so heavy, this thing that I'm carrying, this emotional baggage that I'm carrying is so overwhelming, right, that I feel like it's going to actually kill me. I'm going to collapse. So the person calls out, V'kore, ploni, ploni, kroivi. Yankel, yankel, my friend. Hey, you over there. Krok mi alai masoy zeh. Get this burden off of me before I literally collapse. Now, if you need help and you're carrying something heavy, right? You might say to someone who's walking down the street, you might say, excuse me. And if they didn't hear you, you might wait a second. And then you'll say, excuse me again. Or if you come to someone's house and you knock on the door. Right? And there's no answer. So you wait a little. You wait a little. Right? Give them a chance. Maybe they're upstairs. Maybe they're in the restroom. Whatever it is, you wait a second. Right? And then if you think, maybe they didn't hear you. So you knock again. Right? But if it's an emergency, right? You're not going to ring the bell once. You're going to keep ringing the bell. You're going to keep knocking until someone opens that door. It's an emergency. I'm not going to speak to you respectfully and excuse me, do you mind if you could help me with this package? You start screaming, help, help, Moshe, I'm dying over here. So when Hashem calls out to Moshe from the snare, why did Hashem appear to Moshe Rabbeinu in a thorn bush? Chazal say, because imo anochi b'tzara, because Hashem feels our pain. And Hashem is not patient. What the Rebbe is doing is he's reminding Hashem, in quotations, he's reminding Hashem, Rabbona Sha'olam, if we're suffering this much, that means I am confident that you're suffering this much with us. It's an emergency, and it can't wait. And you need to bring an end to this. And again, what's so tragic about what we're learning, this is from the year Tafshin, this is 1940. The Rebbe is going to endure another 2 years of this. But the Rebbe, in desperation, is screaming out, he's saying, Rabbona Sha'olam, right? The same way you called out Moshe, without even pausing because it was an emergency. You called out from the burning bush, Moshe. Shabikesh mi Moshe Rabbeinu, that Hashem kiviyachol is asking Moshe Rabbeinu, I need your help to save Bnei Yisrael. Karazel zeh, they're crying to me and I'm crying back. Mamish, Hashem tzilcha, Hashem is your shadow, literally this ripple effect. Right? The same way the angels are empowered by our efforts, Hashem also is responsive to our emotional efforts and responses. Shabikesh mi Moshe Rabbeinu sheyifrok hamasoy me'alav kiviyachol. Hashem is screaming, Moshe, get this burden off of me. Go save my children of Mitzrayim. And I know that image, that notion is theologically puzzling, because Hashem, so then you take them out of Mitzrayim. In the end, you do take them out of Mitzrayim. Don't put them in Mitzrayim. If you love us so much, why do we suffer so much? It's a hard and complicated sugya called life. But Hashem screams out to Moshe, help, I need your help. Mefarik hamasui mitzaron shel Yisrael. I'm carrying a very heavy burden of the pain of the Jewish people. And I need your help. However, when two people carry something together, it makes it much, much easier to carry it. The box is still very heavy, but if two people are carrying it, it's much, much easier. That's why the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, I'll conclude with this. The Gemara says that wherever we went in Galus, Hashem came with us. Galu Lebavel, we went to Galus Bavel, Shechina Iman. And we went to this Galus, and went to that Galus. It's Megillah Daf Chav Tes. It's a beautiful Gemara. We went here, Hashem came with us. We went there. Hashem always comes with us. Hashem doesn't say, no, I'm not going there. Hashem says, when he first introduced the possibility of going down to Mitzrayim, Hashem says, Anochi Ered Imcha Mitzrayim. Remember that pasuk? Hashem says that to Yaakov Avinu. Anochi Ered Imcha Mitzrayim. I will go down to Mitzrayim with you. I'll be with you every step of the way. It's interesting. The word Anochi, that's the first word we heard from Hashem at Har Sinai, right? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So it's sort of foreshadowing that. Anochi Eirei Imcha Mitzrayim. We're going to go down to Mitzrayim, and then we're going to come out of Mitzrayim, and when you hear what? Anochi Hashem Elokecha at Har Sinai, it'll be like, ah, okay. The same, So we have to go to that, We need a Mitzrayim in order to be worthy of Kabbalah Satorah. Anochi Eirei Imcha Mitzrayim. I will go down with you to Mitzrayim. That to me is the pasuk in Chumash that is the greatest expression of a Kadosh Baruch Hu taking care of us. However, what do we call that? What's the term that we use, right, for sharing the burden with a friend, for taking care of someone, for carrying that? What's the Jewish term that we use?
Achdus.
What do we call that? To be noisei ba'ol im chavera. You've heard that expression before? To be noisei ba'ol im chavera. To carry the yoke, to carry the burden with your friend. Right? That's what it's called. And the Bali Musar all spoke about it. Rabbi Saul Salanter said, literally, the same way that when you're carrying a heavy box, if two people carry it, all of a sudden it becomes much lighter. So noisei ba'ol im chavera. Rabbi Saul Salanter said, when you think about someone else who's going through a difficulty, it's literally like putting your hands under the box. If you have a friend who's going through a tough time, a relative or whatever, a person in the world you don't even know is going through a tough time, and you lend emotional support, you don't realize it, but on a spiritual level, you're making it lighter for them. You're actually helping to lift that burden off of their shoulders. You're nosei, you're carrying ba'ol, the yoke, the burden, im chaveo. That's the term. That's the term that appears in all the Sfarim. Nosei ba'ol im chaveo. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nosei ba'ol im chaveiro when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Mitzrayim with us. So since since it's Purim, and you know I like a lot of gematrias on Purim, let's do one gematria. We'll end with a gematria. Okay, what's the gematria of Anochi Eired Imcha Mitzrayim? Hashem says to Yaakov Avinu, I will go down to Egypt with you. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. We'll go together. Anochi Eired Imcha Mitzrayim. No? Who's got a calculator? Anochi is 81. Eired. Jack, you doing it? 205. Imcha, an ayin, Imcha. 130. And Mitzrayma, Pasuk says, Mitzrayma is how much? 385. Okay, what's the number?
801.
801. Anochi Eired Imcha Mitzrayma. Hashem says to Yaakov, Yaakov is so scared. And Hashem says, Yaakov, Anochi, I. Anochi means the essence of me, I. Eired Imcha Mitzrayim. I will be with you in Mitzrayim. Don't be nervous. We can do this. It's so hard. Trust me. Hashem says, I'm telling you, I'm responding. Karazel Zeva Amar. We're screaming together. And you'll see when we get to Har Sinai, you're going to hear another Anochi. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. You're going to get the Torah and it'll all be worth it. Somehow, it'll somehow make sense to you. Okay, what's the gematria of Nosei Ba'ol Imchavero? Let's add it up. You got it? Nosei. How much is Nosei? Nosei is 357. Nun Vav, Sin, Aleph, Nosei. Be'ol, to bear the yoke, to carry the yoke. Be'ol, Ol is 108. Im, I hope this works. Im, Ayin Mem, 110. And then Chaveiro is 226. How do we do, Jack? 801, Gvaldik. So the ultimate Noisei Ba'olim Chaveiro, where Hashem says, I'm your friend and I got your back and I'm going to carry you with you. We'll do it together. We'll be mechazik each other. You know what else is 801? Chazak, chazak, v'nit chazek is also 801. We're mechazik each other. We carry each other. We carry each other. We can do this. We can do this. You're going to help me, I'm going to help you, Hashem says. Right? So the ultimate Noisei Ba'olim Chaveiro, it's not just, a Yid helping another Jew move a couch to his new apartment. And it's not just feeling bad for a Jew who's been displaced from his home in Uman or Mezhbuz or wherever, in Kiev. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu saying to Yaakov Avinu, I'm going to come to Mitzrayim with you. And like I told you, Megillah Daf Chav Tesamet Aleph. It's a beautiful Gemara. Look at it with your own eyes. Galul Bavel, Shechina Iman. They went to Paras Umadai, the Shechina was with us. They went to Yavan, they suffered under the Greeks, the Shechina was with us. They came to America, they lived in Washington Heights. And there were challenges, and the Shechina was with us. Okay? So that, says the Rebbe, that's the Vayikra El Moshe. When you feel that the karbanos, the sacrifices I've tried to make for you, Hashem, are just too much, and I can't suffer anymore, Hashem says, shh. Hashem doesn't whisper to you. Hashem screams to you. Vayikra El Moshe screams back to you. I love you. And we're going to do this together. And Emir Tzashem. Emir Tzashem. Like the Rebbe's tefillah that didn't come true in his time, at least not in a revealed way, in 1940, Halavai, halavai, we should be zoicha to see the Rebbe's hopes and tefillos for Klal Yisrael. But the Gula Shleimah b'meher b'meinu, amen. Okay, I know people had some questions or comments, so I'm happy to take them at this time. Yeah, you've been very patient.
This was on the Mashal, not the Mashal, the Gemara in Baba Batra.
Yeah.
And Bafiyad, about the back of the Rosh and the...
Yeah.
I forgot who this is from, but I've learned an idea before that when you see a poor person walking around, like that's when you're supposed to be atheist.
Right. The Chiddush Hashirim says that, I think.
Like,
the first guy who said that. Yeah, the right.
Where do you find good in atheism?
Everything, right. Everything in the Torah is purposeful. Everything is good. Right? So where is Kfirah good? So kfira is good when it comes to giving tzedakah. Why? Because you could say, who am I to overstep? It's Hashem's, right? So you should reject it. You say, Hashem will help them. If I'm helping them, I'm saying Hashem's not going to help them. So be a koifer, Say Hashem's not going to help them, and open your wallet and give them some tzedakah. That's what you're supposed to do, yeah. It's a good line.
It's like that argument of like, you're trying to get sweet children, and you forgot to help
me. Yeah, exactly, exactly. There's it, right? Exactly. Hashem put us in a physical body with physical senses, and, you know, if we're here, we're supposed to do something. I don't know why Hashem needs our, in quotes, help, but if we're here, we got to do our part, yeah. Yeah, Ellie.
So I mean, this definitely applies, like, what we were just learning about, just, like, what Jews are suffering, but, like, what about when, like, the God is suffering, we have an opportunity, should we jump in it the same way that we would for a Yid, or we should prioritize that?
Again, I don't think any person who's honest in the world will admit to prioritizing their family over strangers, right? But yeah, on some level we have to, you know, like Rabbi Krohn spoke about in the Beis Medrash the other day. There's a sense of every person is created b'tzelem Elokim, and it pains a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It pains the suffering of humanity. Pains a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, our first response. I'm not going to lie, and I'm going to take care of my. I take care of my closest, you know, relatives and friends first. Is that evil of me? No, I think that's realistic of me. You would do the same. Every human being in the world would do the same. But we also have to, you know, we have to be generally concerned with everyone and everything. It's a daunting task, but in theory. Okay, Yaina Eden, finish us off. I got to get to the base.
One thing, just reminds me of, was a couple of weeks ago, we were wearing Eish Kodesh. He had the Malcolm said, like, how are you going to give Torah to the Jews? They don't trust you. They're going through a tough time. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, no. He had Am Yisrael. He showed that when you're going through tough times, Hashem is still there for you. And that tough times, you're supposed to go through tough times in order to become closer to Hashem.
Nachon. That's right. It's very ironic that Dafka, the whole Indian of Karbanos, which is, you know, breaking oneself down, it's all kirva, it's all korva, it's all closeness, it breeds closeness. Yeah, people grow a lot through difficulties, it's a real thing.